It's time now for Marsha Hyatt's The Best of Ourselves. Good morning.
Good morning, CJ.
It's fall.
It's gorgeous.
It's gorgeous.
It's colorful. It's a time of true colors, which I love that symbolism of just getting rid of the green that covers up the other beautiful colors. And I think, what do we have that in our lives that sort of covers up our true colors? And so I've been thinking about that. I actually had a conversation with someone this week where a friend of mine who was saying, you know, I'm kind of hard on myself and my little inner voice. I'm kind of hard on myself, but I think it works for me because it drives me to do more than I would if I didn't have that little whip inside my head.
Ooh.
And I thought, so you're advocating cruelty?
To self?
To self. You know, it's a very interesting thing how I know this is fairly pervasive, that many of us have multiple voices in our head. I'm not talking, you know, multiple personalities, but I'm talking little voices in our head that you're nodding. So you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, the little, you know, they could be gremlins. They could be, my one friend calls her inner terrorists. But generally speaking, we can be awfully hard on ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand what my friend is saying in terms of that she perhaps works a little harder because of that. But the cost of being so cruel to ourselves, we would never advocate that kind of cruelty for anybody we really cared about.
That's so true.
And so why do we tolerate it in ourselves? You know, it's a really interesting thing. I mean, think about, you know, in a range like 1 to 5, how harsh is that little inner voice? And it varies for me. It depends on what's going on. But sometimes it can be really mean.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, who do you think you are? And you're not smart. You don't know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and sometimes it's like, boy, I wish you'd done that differently. But, you know, it could be a whole range of things.
Yeah.
And set off a lot of emotion, set off a lot of reaction. Often you're not so fun to be around when it's alive and well in your brain.
Yeah. You struggle.
You do. And it's not, we are so not alone with this. I mean, often we don't talk about it because it's embarrassing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I should have my act together. I'm gonna look like I'm act together. Okay, voices just stay inside. And and you know, and one woman, a friend of mine was talking about, she goes, you know, I am so hard on myself. I am so committed as a leader not to do this to anybody else, not to create this harsh conditions that I create for myself. So the question becomes, how do we and can we calm those voices? And there's a couple of things from a couple of different sources I've been reading about that we can. And they do keep us from being present. They keep us from being our best self, even though they came along with the best intentions. These voices come out of fear.
Right.
And they're trying to keep us safe.
Yep.
And so to fight that and to, I mean, I know for a while I beat myself up for beating myself up. That, you know, that doesn't work so well. Maybe doubly miserable.
Oh my, yeah.
Yeah, so what have we learned about how to tame, how to befriend, how to live with but not be dominated by those voices that often come out of fear? Jill Bolte Taylor, who wrote My Stroke of Insight.
I love that book.
It's a beautiful book.
Yeah.
And she's was 37 when she had a major stroke and lost much of her left logical brain function. And came back quite well, but with a lot of work. And she's as a brain researcher, when she had the stroke, she's fairly articulate about what's going on in her brain. And she said, in my opinion, making the decision that internal verbal abuse is not acceptable behavior is the first step toward finding deep inner peace. I think, yeah, you know, that's sort of not tolerating it is the first step. So the question is, how do we deal with it? How can we perhaps not have it drive so much of our internal monologue? And it is changeable. The first, though, is to just notice without judgment.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking before we went on air, it's one of the biggest shifts, is just noticing it. It's like, wow, why do I feel so icky right now? Or, wow, boy, I'm really being hard on myself. But just notice it. Don't judge it. Don't fight it. Because that in of itself can be a really good first step. Because if you don't notice it, of course, then you're doomed to just be vulnerable to whatever that message is telling you.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we notice it by the judgments we make of others. Because often what irritates us most in others is what we're most unable to accept in ourselves. So you're nodding. Okay.
Yeah.
And so, so that's another place where you might notice it. It's like, wow, why am I being so intolerant of that person? I have trouble with controlling people because I have some of that issue myself. So noticing it first without judgment. You know what? If you try to fight it, you force it underground into the unconscious realm, and then you're so much more vulnerable to it because you don't even know what, you know, it's still working.
Mm-hmm.
It's still working. Because, it came from the best intentions of keeping you safe, helping you adapt, helping you cope, helping you have power in the world. The second thing is just notice the feeling of what happens to you. Again, without judgment. Notice, you know, you're tight. You know, what happens when you get angry, you know, feeling in your gut. And usually Joe Bolte Taylor says 90 seconds. You don't even fight it. Just notice it, feel it, allow it. And then from there, you have the possibility of disengaging.
Mm-hmm.
But the first place is there. Thank you very much. I hear you're trying to...
I hear you're scared.
I hear you're scared. I hear you're angry. I hear you're concerned. And acknowledge it. Don't fight it again because it's not going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
It just isn't. Mm-hmm. It's just more like taming a wild animal.
Mm-hmm.
But a couple things you can do to shift your attention then after 90 seconds, because that's when sort of the emotional, physical...
It's the physical thing.
Rush, yeah.
Yep.
A couple of things like knowing something else you can focus on, having a clear intention. Like, okay, I hear you're concerned about what's, you know, you're talking to your inner voice. You're concerned about that it's not going well. But what's your intention right now? How do you want to show up? Why are you doing what you're doing? That can sort of bring you back.
Mm-hmm.
If you can, do something that's pleasurable. If you can, go do like a hot bath or eat something really great, mocha, whatever makes you feel good. Or if you have a picture of your dog in your pocket, that, again, can help shift your energy. Inner critics just don't like happy feeling.
Yeah, they don't do well with positive energy.
No, it just kind of is like, okay, fine, I'll just recede. You might use humor.
Yeah,
it's like tease your inner voice. Like, all right, so if I mess up here, the whole world is going to collapse, and the business is going to fail, and we're going to starve. You know, it can just sort of like ease out of it.
Yeah.
Best thing to do though is to notice it, honor it. And then know that you can change the channel.
Yeah.
Not easily.
Mm-hmm.
And don't beat yourself up if you can't change it easily. Just notice it and know that noticing it is the really, really important part of the change. Jill Bolte Taylor said in her book, My Stroke of Insight, if I want to retain my inner peace, I must be willing to consistently and persistently tend the garden of my mind moment by moment, and be willing to make the decision 1,000 times a day.
Mm-hmm.
So patience,
it's not a one-time deal.
It is not. So patience with ourselves, and know we don't have to be so hard on ourselves to be the best of ourselves.
Oh, thanks, Marcia.
Thank you.